Our scripture reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 41, verses 15 through 28. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile, when out of the river there came up seven cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, seven other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I have never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the seven fat cows that come up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dream, I saw seven heads of grain, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, seven other heads sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none of them could explain it to me." Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh that what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The seven lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the seven worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Don. Appreciate it. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, we did a kind of a leadership Sunday and gave away some awards to folks who had been helping in some different areas and had kind of stepped out. So we had some changes, but we did want to say thanks to those folks who had served in faithfulness areas last year. I know Chuck and Becky Crystal weren't here for that. They received the Servants of the Bread and Cup Award. That says here, so they're here with us today. And so we're giving that, so thank you. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. Also want to say next week, I'm really excited, next week I'm talking about Methodist beliefs, Methodist family beliefs, looking forward to that. I didn't grow up United Methodist, and so there were just some things that I struggled with when I first became Methodist, based upon my background, but there were some things that I learned that were ultimately very helpful for me. So I invite you back next week for that really good conversation, really good. And also, in your bulletin, you'll begin to see that we have a growth goal. As we talk about a new service, our contemporary service, hopefully around the time of August, it would be great if we were able to kind of grow our congregation in the next 5 months, or however long that is, roughly by about 30 people, so that when we go to two services, you're not going to have like a service of 50 and a service of 60, but there would be some more cushion there. So I am challenging you as your pastor with this goal that by August, our average attendance, we'd be able to increase that by about 30. Today's a great example of kind of where we would like to be. I'll guess that today we're probably around that number. And so just invite you, and we're just going to keep posting what that number is so that you can keep that in front of you, that goal in front of you, as we move towards two services. Today we're going to learn some lessons from Joseph about abundance and scarcity. Joseph's story is a great one, so great that they made it into a Broadway play, right? So perhaps you know Joseph's story because you read it in the Bible, or perhaps you know Joseph's story because you saw Joseph in the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, right? And I know we've seen that once or twice. It was very good. The short version of his story is this. We just read a little passage, but to tell you the entire story, he was one of the youngest brothers, I think second from the bottom, in a family that consisted of 12 brothers, which is a lot of brothers. Those 12 brothers would go on to form what we know today as the tribe of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, each named after one of those brothers. Now, his father seemed to favor him, seemed to favor Joseph, this very young child. He had a different mom than the other 10. And so he kind of favored him. That's probably why he made him this coat of beautiful colors that he gave just to him. So his brothers didn't like him because of that reason, because he was the favored brother. So they dropped him in a well while they figured out what to do with him until some slave traders came by and said, "Hey, let's sell our brother and tell our dad that a lion got him." So, you know, you thought maybe you had some tough siblings. It gets worse, right? So that's what they did. They sold him. They went back and told dad he's dead. And sorry about that. And so that's how Joseph ended up in Potiphar's house. Potiphar was the captain of the guard to Pharaoh of Egypt. Joseph had this wonderful gift, this spiritual gift, if you will. He had the gift of prophecy and through the translation of dreams. He was just very, very good at it. That power that he had in the totality of the story would elevate him from a place of low servanthood or slavery to eventually being the right-hand man of Pharaoh himself. Above all, that was given a ring and everything, had the power of Pharaoh within him. But he would not get to that place before finding himself in prison for several years, thrown in prison, right? Kind of a bad place. And so he found himself kind of all over the place in his lifetime. So Joseph knew the extremes. Joseph knew what it was like to live in a place of great abundance and to have all things accessible to him. And he knew what it meant to live in great scarcity and to have nothing. So regardless of where Joseph was, he never lost hope and faith in God. He is a very good person to us to learn from today as we talk about the topics of abundance and scarcity. The first lesson we learn from Joseph is a life lesson. I'm just going to call it a life lesson. And part of the life lesson is this, is that oftentimes life is unpredictable. It can just be unpredictable. As it turns out, as people, we love predictability. And as a matter of fact, over thousands of years, we have worked to create a global society that minimizes anything that could regularly affect the rhythm of our daily lives and of the daily lives all over people all over the world. But if COVID taught us anything, it's that our global society is not bulletproof, right? That there are still things that can affect the rhythm of life that we have grown to love and grown accustomed to. And honestly, it's only a small percentage of people globally that are insulated from the changes of life, that can kind of afford to insulate ourselves from changes. Now, we happen to live in a place of abundance and scarcity. I knew that about Lebanon before I moved here, that there was great wealth in Lebanon and there was great poverty in Lebanon. And so we have a growing issue of homelessness within our own community. It's something that our men's ministry, they encountered several weeks ago as we helped Elevate Lebanon do this homeless event. We saw 120 homeless people kind of come through the doors. It was like, wow, we've got that many people who are without shelter in our community. And so not only that, I mean, that's something that we see, but we also see that we have a drug problem, which preys on people who experience at times homelessness and poverty. But we all know that drug problems aren't exclusive to one demographic. The drug problem can spread out kind of far and wide, but definitely where there's poverty. So we live in a place where you can see the great contrast of abundance and scarcity in our own community, but we also live in a time of abundance and scarcity within the world. You can find the great contrast in many different communities in Missouri throughout the world. And so it is this reality. It is a reality, but we have to be careful because abundance and scarcity is also a mindset that we can get locked into as people. And so there are people who have so much but feel like they have nothing. And there are people who have so very little but feel like they have everything. They have it all. And so scarcity mindset is a fear that you do not have enough, or that sometime in the future you will not have enough for all that you need, but also not just what you need, sometimes just to make you comfortable. I like to be comfortable, I get it. We want to be comfortable. And so just to make you feel a little bit better, like this fear it's built into us as a species, as a people. And this has been the fear that humanity's lived with for thousands of years. It is the fear of scarcity that actually motivates us to work and to work hard. And I actually had a conversation with a church member this morning about how that fear of not having someday sometimes pushes us to work more than maybe we really need to, because we want to make sure that we've got enough. It is the fear that can cause us sometimes to look out after number one. Me, right? After all, who's going to look out for me if something happens to me? And so I've got to do that. I've got to make that a priority. And sometimes we don't look after others or even think about others, because all we can do is think about what I might need. And this is how we can feel when we're in scarcity mode, when we're in scarcity mindset. We saw the natural fear of scarcity kick in at the beginning of COVID. If someone would have asked me, if they said, Jim, someday there's going to be this pandemic, I'm going to give you 10 guesses the thing that we are going to run out of fastest in the grocery stores. I would have listed all these things, kind of food, water, stuff like that. Not in a million years, not with 50 guesses, would I ever said toilet paper. Would have never got there. The fear of not being able to wipe our backsides with soft, gentle, double ply. Right? Created a supply and demand issue that the toilet paper industry couldn't keep up with. And so some of us were like, hey, getting on Facebook, I'll make you a deal. I got $50. Can you give me two? But as we learned, that would be just one of many supply and demand issues that we would experience. And even today, we're experiencing more supply and demand issues. We are creatures of comfort, and because of that, we love predictability and predictability in life, and a predictability of goods at a price that we expect to pay. And so when we go into the grocery store and we expect to walk out with a carton of eggs for 99 cents, and it's $4.50, that's startling. That can be startling. It makes you kind of think, what's next, right? And once again, I get this. I get it. Because I kind of have these needs too for things that are comfortable and predictable and the same price. My wife at times has called me, her princess. Right? I'm her princess. I have foot lotion that I like to put on every night. It's a specific type of foot lotion. It smells nice and minty. It feels good on my feet, right? I've got a specific type of shaving cream that I like to buy, and it's minty too. And it tingles a little bit when I put it on, right? And I like that minty tingling feeling on my face. And some of you guys laugh, but I know some of you guys are guilty too, right? Like, I'll go into your house, and what kind of good-smelling, softy stuff will I find there? But we're creatures of comfort. So most of us kind of lead soft lives, and anything that messes with that tends to create a sense of fear and anxiety. It's anxiety producing when something messes with that or attempts to mess with it, which is why any news article we read now that predicts a great recession kind of freaks us out a little bit, right? The recession that's to come. Because as it turns out, fear is triggered by fear. And it just adds to fear. And it's like this vortex. And this fear of scarcity of what we won't have when we want to have it, it hits us hard and we can lose our minds. But our God does not want us to be lose our minds faith people. That's not what he wants from us. He doesn't want us to buy into the craze. So even though life at times is unpredictable, God wants us to know that we have this great internal resource within us. And one of the great internal resources that you have within you is that, as it turns out, as people, as a species, we're very adaptable. We're incredibly adaptable. We're incredibly resilient. Joseph was adaptable. That's Joseph's story. Adaptation. He adapted to every situation while keeping the same sense of integrity and love for God in every single scenario that he entered into. He was the same person when he was at home with his brothers as he was as a slave in Potiphar's prison, as he was in jail in Potiphar's prison, as he was a slave of Potiphar, or while he was second in command to Pharaoh himself, king of Egypt. He kind of had the same strength within him. He adapted to every situation because, as it turns out, God created us that way, but sometimes we forget that we are actually very adaptable and resilient as people. I really want the minty-smelling shaving cream, right? I really want it, but for a while, I didn't buy it because I couldn't find it, and I lived with the other stuff, and it was fine, and, you know, everything was fine. I also really like my good-smelling foot cream, but you know what? Last time I went to the store, it about doubled in price. And so I got some cheaper foot cream. I'll let you know how it goes next week. Right? Not the same minty smell. Something a little different. God has created us to be adaptable to most scenarios. You are actually very resilient by design, and sometimes you just need somebody to remind you of that. And perhaps minty-smelling shaving cream isn't the best example, but I think all of us in this room have probably survived hard times in our lives, and we have done without. And maybe it was a long time ago, maybe it wasn't that long ago, but we have the capacity. You have the capacity. Joseph was a great example of someone who lived into the resilience and adaptability that he was born with, and so can you, and so can I. So don't buy into the scarcity mindset, because you know Joseph's first lesson, which is that we are tremendously more adaptable and resilient than we think we are. You have great capacity. God has designed us that way. The next lesson Joseph learned was the money lesson. In Joseph's case, it was more about resources than money. But resources tends to equate to money, right? You take those resources, you sell them, you have money. In Joseph's case, the resource was food, which tends to be what we would list under the essentials, right? We all need food. And if you remember from our scripture lesson, Pharaoh had a dream. In his dream, 7 skinny, ugly cows ate up 7 fat cows. And 7 scorched, withered heads of grain ate up 7, you know, fat heads of grain, which seemed very weird. You would expect it to maybe go the opposite way. So Joseph came and he prophesied and he said, look, what this means, Pharaoh, is that 7 years of drought and famine is going to follow 7 years of prosperity and abundance. Right? We're going to have this abundance first. Now, knowing this was going to happen, they had a chance to prepare for 7 bad lean years. You got this time to prepare. Now, they could save some of that grain back. They could save some of those resources back. And when the lean years hit, they'd be prepared because they saved for it. And this actually became Joseph's job. Joseph became elevated to to become Pharaoh's official, his number 2 person. And so Joseph helped Egypt save up and store resources, is what he did. From those resources, Egypt not only, in the 7 lean years, they were able to provide for their own people and provide very well, but they were also able to provide, because it was a regional flood and drought, they were able to provide for people all over the region. And as it turns out, when there's this supply demand, things are more expensive. And so Egypt and the Pharaoh made an immense amount of money because of this supply demand, waiting for the right time to bring out the resources to sell to the region. So the money lesson is about saving your resources instead of spending all of your resources. Do you have a short-term, long-term savings plan? You know that paycheck is able to help with? Or do you take 100% of that paycheck, whatever your income is, take 100% of that, and you spend it all each month? If you save money, if you save it, then you're living into a mindset of abundance instead of a mindset of scarcity. If you're learning to be content on 80 to 90% of what's coming in each month, that allows you to save 10 to 20% at least of that paycheck for a rainy day, as we might say. Because friends, you never know. That's lesson number one. Lesson number one is that sometimes life is unpredictable. Sometimes life's unpredictable. And so you have to change things. You just don't know. Like, you don't know when you might lose your job, when you might lose a source of income. Like, you thought you were always going to have it, but then it went away. You don't ever know when you're going to walk into the store, and you thought you were buying 99-cent eggs, and you walk out with $4 eggs, and everything else is going to be like that. You don't know when the car is going to break down, and you're going to need another one or a big fix. You don't know when it's going to be 0 degrees for 6 days, and you go home and your pipes are broken, right? And your house is flooded, and you're going to have to take care of that. The person that prepares for crisis now will minimize the damage of crisis if and when it occurs someday. But in order to do that, you have to be able to look at your current income. You got to look at that income and recognize that that's abundance. I have an abundance. You have to think, yeah, I've got more than enough here. Instead of thinking, this isn't enough. This isn't enough for all that I want to do and all that I need, right? And so sometimes the challenge is learning to make that work, right? And so there's the car that you think you want, or the car that you think you should have, and then there's the car that allows you to have the budget, that allows you to be able to save money. There's the house that you think you want and the house that you think you need, and then there's the house that you can get, that you can afford, that allows you to save some income each month. It's a hard lesson. It's a hard lesson. So without Joseph's guidance, after 3 years of abundance, let's go back, right? So Pharaoh, they have those 7 years of prosperity. So let's say years 3, 4, like they're seeing like a substantial uptick and more is coming in. Pharaoh could have thought to himself, hey, this is a new normal. This is like 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. This is my new normal of grain and livestock. This will always be what I have every year. And so I should use it all, and I should sell what I have left. I should make as much money as I can now with what I have. But as it turns out, his resources would be worth much more if he just kind of stored it and waited for that time. Because of God's voice in his life through Joseph, that's exactly what he was able to do. He was able to store that and save it. You too can learn this important lesson from Joseph if you haven't already learned it. I'm guessing many of you have learned it. But the challenge is first having this different mentality about our resources and about what we have. And if you can't kind of temper your desire for more, then you'll never have enough. And that doesn't go away. And so sometimes people make more, but then they spend more. They find ways to get rid of it. But if you learn to spend less, then you'll always have more than enough. So Joseph's lesson on abundance and scarcity, it's a life lesson, it's a money lesson, and last, it's a faith lesson. And I love how our scripture lesson begins that Don read to us. Pharaoh pulls Joseph out of prison. He's been rotten there for 2 years. He brings him up. I imagine Joseph's a little bit like, oh my gosh, you know, is this finally going to happen? And so he says to Joseph, Pharaoh says, hey, I hear you can interpret dreams, so let's see what you got. We might be able to do something about your situation. And Joseph says, I don't know why. Joseph says, well, you heard wrong. I can't interpret dreams. But God can. Right? Drop mic, exit stage left. You know? But God can. It's almost like he wants to go back to prison. Why would you even joke about that? Why would you begin with, no, I can't? You would say, yes, Pharaoh, you heard correctly. I can interpret dreams, and I can interpret dreams for you all day long in a plush bed and not a prison cell. That's the point I would be trying to make. But the point that Joseph is trying to make, he's trying to make the faith point. He's leading with the faith point. And the faith point always is, and I even heard it this morning from somebody else. I heard this morning, right? Joseph's point is, not by my power, but by his power. I can do it, but not by my power, it's by his power. You see, the thought of not having what you need is meant to make you feel weak. That's how you feel. When you have this scarcity mindset, you feel weak. And so it triggers that instinctual part of you, and that instinctual part of you is self-preserving, it's self-protecting. And so in the face of scarcity, sometimes we abandon our values. We abandon our integrity. We wouldn't normally steal from someone or take from the business or, you know, add a little more to what we're charging, but now we will because it's about survival. And times are getting lean, so it's time to get mean. And sometimes that's just perceived, right? It's perceived. Well, this could happen. I'm afraid this could happen. So it hasn't happened yet, but it could happen. And so in the fear of not having enough, we can make poor decisions that we would not normally make when we're in abundant times. But what I want to say to you is, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't make that poor decision. I want you to make the Joseph decision. When you become afraid that you aren't enough, when you become afraid that you don't have enough, that you will not have enough, and fear stares you down, and that fear says to you, I don't think you have what it takes right now. I don't think you have what it takes, so I think you need to let go of some of those precious values you cling to, that integrity you talk about, those faith things you talk about. I think it's time to let go of those things. You can stare back into the empty eyes of scarcity, and you can say, you are right, I don't think I can, but he can. He can. He can walk beside you in the darkest days. He can help you get through lean times in life. He can be your strength when you feel like you have given all that you have to give and you don't know that you have anything left to give. He can because he does through his abundance. Because our God is the God of abundance. He has abundant love, he has abundant grace and abundant provision and abundant strength. Your Father in heaven can because there is no end to what he can do, and all you have to do is have faith that he can do it. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see, which is part of the problem. When we can't see it, we freak out. You can be assured that when you can't, he can and he will, and he desires to do so again and again and again in your life. That's the Christian story. So Joseph knew this about God, and you can know this about God too, and you can believe it as firmly as Joseph believed it. So today, Joseph has taught us the life lesson, he's taught us the money lesson, and he's taught us the faith lesson. And so I need to ask, which lesson was for you? Which was your lesson? Did you walk in here and you this last week, you're struggling with a fear of not having enough, of not having what you need? God wants you to overcome this fear, and he's going to help you overcome this fear. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power and love and self-discipline, all the things we need for the three things we just talked about. And so Joseph today, he offers us three different ways to combat our fear of not having enough. And that is, you can adapt to it, you can save for it, and you can faith through it. Isn't it good to have options? Some of y'all came in here today and you've been anxious. You've been really anxious because you thought you were out of options. Isn't this good news? Joseph just gave you three options today. Joseph said that thing, that scarcity, it's creeping in. You're starting to get afraid, but good news, you can adapt to it. You can save for it, and you can faith through it. And as if God's word isn't good enough to give us these three options, now we can go to God in prayer. Turns out we can pray through these things as well. And God is going to strengthen you through this. So let's all bow together and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God of abundance. And that Scripture is full of people in different terrifying scenarios. Lord, we don't even know what it means not to have in this day and age. There have been so many within Scripture that had nothing. And yet they were true to you in their faith and their integrity. And you supplied because you are the God of supply and abundance. So, Lord, I pray for my friends here. I pray for those who are in a scenario right now where scarcity is in their lives and they have fear. But today you're going to speak into them and give them a supernatural courage because you're the God of abundance and open hands to your children. And so we love you for that. We thank you for that. God, allow us to learn some difficult lessons, to learn from Joseph, that we might not make the same mistakes over and over again. And sometimes that mistake is just faith. Help us to have great faith, Lord. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.